Hello, and welcome to This Might Be the News. My name is Rory, and this week I'm joined by my friend Sophie.
Hi.
Hey Sophie, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going good, it's chilled, it's fun, it's nice.
We're having another one of our We're in Different Parts of the World calls, and the listener is just a mere...
ear pervert.
I don't know, an ear pervert, sort of bugging our... phone line.
Do you like that you coined that phrase? Like, it's not like a great hashtag ear pervert.
Yeah, I like to think of it. That's my affectionate name for our listeners.
You know what? Like,
I did have a couple of people get in touch when we last said, you know, when I think the last time you and I spoke on this podcast, we said we've got no listeners, no one ever emails in. I had a few people email me just saying, yeah, we're still listening.
Really? What did they say? That's great.
I think they said they like it. They like it, you know. They like the podcast.
Who were they? What were their names?
I think one was called Michael.
One was called Vicky. Michael. One was Vicky. Great. So, he's a big fan.
Thanks to Michael and Vicky for still listening. And if you're still listening, do email in. This might be the news at gmail.com, or you can just contact us on Facebook or Instagram. Or
I want to know. Sorry, I want to know where there will be sometimes slight delay because you seem to be, I think, across the other side of the world. Is that right, Rory?
Yeah, I'm in the States this week. I'm on American soil.
On the ground?
Yeah, just, you know, like wanting to just check in with what's actually going on with Trump, watch some of that CNN and Fox News. It is ridiculous.
Is it? Have you had any gems?
I've been watching the news. Trump's in some trouble with, he's got his billionaire mate who's been sexually assaulting someone or sexually harassing someone, allegedly. I should really watch the news in full. But we've got the facts to cover. It's not going to be Trump, but there's only one way to do it, and that is with the facts.
Facts.
The facts. So, are you on top of this story about the President's Club?
Do you know what? I am a bit. I found it quite interesting, partly because it feels like a complete... It's all getting out of hand. It's like so much sexual harassment or claims of it, and it's just like it's like the hot thing, isn't it? It's a hot topic.
It is, you know. I think it's going to be a real theme of this year. Even though it felt like a theme of last year, I think we've got more of this to come this year.
How many times can you and I both debate this? Like, I think we've debated this at least three times. So I'm going to endeavour to say something new in my opinion on it. But it's actually getting a bit embarrassing, isn't it? How much it keeps happening. But I suppose it's going to keep happening for ages because it won't change for a bit. It's the nature of changing stuff. God, I sound so inspiring.
you already sound like you're exhausted by it all.
Yeah, like, hashtag me too.
Well, let's look into the fact of the President's Club. So there was a reporter for the FT who posed as a hostess. For the President's Club, which is a big charity club and event which hosts a sort of big boozy lunch every year for around 350 guests.
Yeah, they like prizes, don't they? And they do it at the Dorchester. And one of the prizes this year was add spice to your wife. And it was a prize of, I don't know what it was in the end, but I should find out what it really was, shouldn't I? But that's what they said, add spice to your wife. Maybe it was a load of spices. It's probably a bit of coriander and oregano.
I think it was the offer of plastic surgery. I think it was a plastic surgery prize.
That's exactly what it was, Rory. Well done.
That attendants could... attendees could
I think I'd prefer some oregano.
What, just or do you mean, or a Cajun five spice?
You can never go wrong with Cajun five spice, can you? That's the most handy spice in the cupboard.
If we just invented a spice, it's Chinese five spice, isn't it? And then this plain old Cajun. Yeah. Cajun minds their own business, saying, I don't need no four other spices to make me Cajun. Anyway, so... This ball's been going on for... Well, the ball, lunch, whatever event. It's been going on for 33 years. It's an all-male event. at which all sorts of characters come to, and the only women that attend are the hostesses.
And so this woman, sorry. We've got a delightful delay, haven't we? So there might be some interrupting. What's great about it is, not great, but the women have to sign an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, before they get in. I don't even get time to sign it, really. And they're made to put on like a black dress and heels and like a belt around the waist. And then they get paraded out. They come out, they get paraded out on stage, and then they sort of get assigned in some ways. And then there's like a bit after the whole auction where you can stay later if you want to maybe earn a bit of extra cash, in whatever way that is. Like some of the guys like give away what they've auctioned off, or like take them on holidays if they've won holidays and stuff.
Oh God.
So actually, do you know what? Like if you're not doing that well for yourself, like it's awful, isn't it?
Yeah.
But this is why probably some people do it.
I mean, yeah, it's like it's probably a well-paid gig, but a lot of them probably wouldn't have realised what they were actually signing up for. So this FT reporter has then reported that actually it was a very unpleasant event, where once as the evening progressed, the men got a lot more abusive. There was a lot of groping. I think one guy sort of shouted at one of the hostesses, he gave her a glass of champagne. He said, "Down that, rip your knickers off, and dance on the table." Another just plain exposed his penis to one of the hostesses.
Whoa, really?
So yeah.
Do you know at the beginning of it, the host, whoever was like emceeing the night, I'm sure it's not
David Williams.
No, not yet. Well, it wasn't David Williams, but there was someone else, and they came out and then they said, "Welcome to the most un-PC event of the year." And it was like, "Well, you sort of made your coffin there."
Yeah, because if you have any idea about what's about to happen, he's really put his name by that, hasn't he? He's really endorsed the forthcoming behaviour. So I went to like the best source for this sort of story, which is The Sun, who they really like to sort of bury themselves in the detail on a story like this. So do you know where the dresses were from? The matching dresses?
No, where are they from?
Dorothy Perkins.
No.
So, yeah, I wasn't expecting Dorothy Perkins. Yeah, around £20 a dress. So what? The room was full of billionaires and millionaires, but still, you don't want to buy them something expensive if you're going to be ripping it off later.
And that I think that yeah, that is the only place that you can get a 20 quid dress like that. That's probably like more like DP. I mean, the shoes. I find it ridiculous that. I don't know. Do you know what I've struggled with here in this world is that I struggle to think that all of those girls could be ignorant to what they were getting themselves in for. Like, what's the name of the company that provided the hostesses? Arista or something like that, or Artista. It's called Artista. I don't know what company that is, but it must be when they did an interview with the girl from Coronation Street who'd done it in like 1999, and it was exactly the same back then as it sounds like it is now. And it's almost like you must understand, like people must, when you say, "Oh, what's it like?" They know, they manage their expectations. I think they do get told at the beginning, like, if you have any problems with any of the men, then like, let us know. But it is disgusting. But surely they also knew
that
what they were getting into.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe to the extent. Other things that the Sun picked up on that was there was a secret code with the nail varnish. Is it nail varnish, polish, whatever you use to nail paint, whatever you colour your nails with, you ladies.
Nail
decorations. If you wore red nail paint, you were allowed to leave at 12 p.m. or like at 12 at night. But if you were wearing black, that meant you were staying on till the after party. And so you.
Why did you change your mind during the night? You'd be like doing an extra layer of polish on top. And if you'd started with red and then you wanted to go black, that's fine. But if you were on black and wanted to change to red, like you'd be like shitting yourself.
You dip your fingers in ketchup immediately. just got A, your fingers are now red, and B, you're covered in ketchup, and no one wants to
As
talk
a man
to you
comes
anyway.
Up to you, and he's like, oh, black, eh? I'll see you later. And you're like, no, red, red. And he's like, it's just ketchup. And then he licks it off your hands and reveals black, and you're trapped.
God, it's like a poem. So that's going on. Do you know? I then went on the Wikipedia page, and they've put together a little list of people that were on the guest list. Do you want to hear that?
Yeah, I do. Although is this going to make me just judge people?
Maybe, I don't know. You got Vernon Kay.
Yeah, classic. Could imagine him on that.
Theo,
do you know what's really awful about it? What's really awful? Sorry, you have to say the name again in a minute. But you're like rolling your eyes at, like, these are the people that make lewd jokes about, I don't know, these are the people that are just a bit crass and, like, find, like, sexist jokes funny. Like, I reckon this list is just going to be full of people like that. That you're like, oh, God. Get a new form of comedy.
Yeah, I've got Vernon Kay, who's, like, always sort of been in a bit of hot water, I think, over the years on his use
his
of Twitter.
His morals have
and
been
stuff.
Shifty. Yeah.
To say the least.
To say the least.
You got Theo of Dragon's Den. You've also got.
Is he
Peter
the one
Jones.
That swims every morning?
Oh, I don't know there. I don't know about their leisure.
I think he swims
habits.
I think I saw a documentary and he swims every morning.
Theo's the one who used to run La Senza. And then.
Of course he is.
And then Peter Jones is the tall one who's still on it. Who's like been on it forever.
Hmm. Right.
And then Gio DeCampo, the chef from
Gio. Oh, he's great. I love him.
Yeah, so he was on the guest list. He hasn't confirmed about whether he went, but he was on the guest list, which is a sort of a lunch event, so he probably did go because he likes food.
And then
obviously David Walliams was hosting it, and so David Walliams has got himself in trouble because he is not only the top children's author in the UK, but the top author, it turns out. He was the best-selling author of 2017. For his books.
Do you know, ironically, one of the presents was that they got to name a new character in his next book.
Well, yeah, I guess that wasn't ironic. That was just, that was part of his deal. I think he turned up and he said, you can name a character I think it's like Bad Children 3 or whatever he's written.
Yeah, maybe, you know, like when you give yourself like a porn star name, imagine if someone like, they won that prize, but then they gave it like, I think I was like Thornhill, Bluebell Thornhill was my porn star name.
That's a great one.
But imagine having a children's character called Bluebell Thornhill.
I mean, it does sound like these sort of men were quite awful, so they probably would name it something rather nasty. And so he's got himself, people are like being very critical of him. They're saying he needs to sort of come out and really speak against this event and sort of denounce it. And so bookshops have started to remove his books from their shops.
No,
there's a handful.
Oh, really?
It's happening. So there's a, and I think it's a little bit of a hysterical reaction because, like, I'm sure he hosts a million things throughout the year and doesn't really pay attention to what he's hosting.
He probably should, though. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he probably should pay attention. Like, the thing is that, like, I find it really hard because you don't know these people, do you? And you don't want to judge them personally. But you look at types of characters and you can imagine David Walliams making a crass comment. Like, you can imagine, like, he's obviously very talented when it comes to writing. There's no denying that. And obviously, again, it's, I don't know, it's just all so blurred now, you know? You're like, I don't know anymore because it's all, why can't people just, I'm so confused, Rory.
just about in general, this whole not feminism, but misogyny, harassment thing in the air right now?
Yeah, like surely it should just be like simple, be respectful, don't say rude things, like. You just think that, like, would you say that to a man as you would to a woman? Like, just simple questions like that. You just ask yourself before you talk. And then suddenly you find, like, all this stuff happening. What was it? I read an article about Jermaine Greer being put down for gay. Because people are getting a bit fed up with the whole Me Too thing, aren't they? The hashtag Me Too. It's a bit, it's,
I think it's been used quite liberally, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think you and Abby discussed it once when I got angry about it. And because you were kind of saying, you know, someone touching your knee is different to rape. And absolutely, there's a vast scale it's all on. I mean, in some ways, you're like, the Me Too hashtag's amazing because at least it's putting stuff out there. But then it is sort of completely crazy, out of control. You know, where's the line? And you get some really irrational people saying shit. And you're like, just because they're famous, they, you know, suddenly everyone else kind of thinks what they're thinking. No one's got independent thought. So I've rambled.
Yeah, I think it's important to ramble because I think a lot of people are like very like confused about what sort of where they stand on the whole thing, because it's, I think if anything, it's just a lot of information to process for us all, because there's been so much over the last few months to handle, and like about people we know, people in the public eye. I think like something like the David Walliams one, I like, part of me thinks like we all make mistakes, and like, I don't know, if someone asked you to, like, if I said, Sophie, look, can you just come host this thing for me next week? I need you to host something. Would you, would you really sort of, would you host it?
What I'd do, and this is what I think just makes so much sense, is I'd go and host it. And then if I was suddenly hosting and then the other host that I was hosting with was saying, what was the quote that he was saying? Basically, he was just like saying loads of like lewd comments, like, you can touch the women. The compere says, this is the male, so don't quote me on this, but the compere Mike Reed was cracking obscene jokes about all of us, encouraging the men's lewd behaviour, almost telling them to grab our host, telling them to grab their hostesses. It was like a disgusting free-for-all.
And yeah, I mean, disgusting free-for-alls historically aren't that great.
Well, it's not great. So if I was suddenly hosting that thing, and then there were those sorts of comments going around with men who were being, I mean, there's no way that an auditorium full of men with women as hostesses, there's no way that obviously men aren't going to take advantage of that by being a bit like laddie or whatever they want to be. But as a host and a fucking children's author, you'd imagine David Walliams to be like, hang on a minute, this isn't that cool, if he really was a feminist, like in any way going to fight for this cause. And then as soon as it was done and this came out, he'd go, you know, yeah, I mentioned something to someone, like, it's not on, whatever. You'd complain. Like, he has the power to complain, doesn't he?
Yeah, and if you're now building your brand on the basis of being a children's author and a family-friendly TV star, which he is, he's on Britain's Got Talent, he's sort of I think long term his game is he wants to be regarded as a national treasure.
You can't
go to that sort of thing, unfortunately.
What do you think he's got to do to like get there, like as a national treasure? Like, he's done some really good steps. He's done Saturday Night TV, he's done children's books,
he charity events. That was really good.
Yeah.
I don't know,
this
he's
just charity
gonna, like,
event.
Yeah, he's got to keep his head down. He's got to keep his head down for a little bit.
And not in between a woman's legs, you know?
Yeah. bit of blue humour there for the dads. Now, the other person sort of that comes to mind is like people who shouldn't have been there category would be Nadeem Zahawi, who is the recently appointed Children and Families Minister in the Cabinet.
No.
So he also attended, and people are saying maybe he shouldn't be doing his job. What do you think about that?
Well, actually, you know what? I think one of the charities they raise money for, the President's Club, because it is obviously a charity event, is Great Ormond Street. So I wonder that there's a lot of children's things attached to it because of that.
You'd be annoyed, wouldn't you? You'd say, like, say if your boss or whatever goes, look, you're the children's minister now, Great Ormond Street are going to get a load of money, you've got to go to this ball where they're going to give him loads of money. And then you get there and sort of everyone's dressed like, all the girls are dressed like Playboy bunnies and
men are being actually encouraged. It's like not the right tone, is it?
You'd say this is a stitch up, isn't it?
Yeah, you'd be more focused in the afternoon to head towards the Dorchester expecting a ball pit and maybe some flumes than you would.
Yeah.
These hostesses dressed up, walking around, auctioning off plastic surgery.
Yeah.
I don't think they've got the brand right, have they, the President's Club? Like, considering the charities they're raising for, they really didn't sort of brainstorm a little brand idea.
They should have just not yet not made it about charity. If they wanted to like spend all their money on weird shit and be awfully offensive, then don't drag things like Great Ormond Street and other charities into it. Because
now... who's the leader of it all?
Don't like, know. Probably Verdun K.
What's weird about it as well is that we're talking as if anyone that went to the event is condoning it. Now, it sort of gets to a position where you have to sort of say, well, if you were there and you didn't say anything, then you are condoning it, which is comes back to this whole like ridiculous debate of like, you know, like how much you say, and you if you sit by and watch something happen and don't say something about it, you're almost being a passive agreeer with it, which is what I think David Walliams is.
It is tricky being like brave or like being outspoken in those situations. I mean, you know me, I'm a bit of a coward and a bit of a non-confrontational kind of guy. And so if I find myself out there, I don't think I'd be like, I'd pull the plug on the speaker and say, everyone stop what you're doing. Look at yourselves. Have you no shame?
No, I know. I suppose not. But I just think
I'd have probably slinked out the back and not told anyone I ever went.
Yeah. Well, what's hilarious, isn't it? That not hilarious, but Corbyn has fired Lord Mendelssohn.
Right.
Because of his attendance. Which is bold, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's good at least that Labour has a strong stand on it, and like whilst it might not be fair, I guess Labour just wanted to be quick to distance themselves from it, whereas I think Tories have not really addressed the issue with Nadeem Zahawi being at the event.
Oh, so he definitely was at the event.
Yeah, apparently he left early though.
Of course he did. What, 12 o'clock with one of the red nails?
Yeah, he didn't stay for the cheese board.
When he saw that red nails on that beautiful blonde, he thought, I can go at 12, it's fine.
It's fine. We've all had our fun. So we've run out of time on the facts, as we always do. Have you got any sort of closing thoughts on sort of the current climate, the current sort of what's in the air regarding this?
Well, not really. Like I said, I read this article about Jermaine Greer like being anti-Me Too movement, and this article kind of basically spoke, it's the waters are so cloudy now, and it's not about one person standing up or one person's one opinion, it's just about like a consistency of, I don't even know anymore. What I'm saying is that I get so confused. I feel like there needs to be a cheat sheet of three questions, which is, would it be said to a man?
Yep.
Would you want, like, or even just, would you want that said to you? Like, yeah. Do you think it's fair? And are you being equal? Or something like that, which you can just ask and everyone can ask. And it's like children have those phrases at primary school, don't they? Like when they're bullied.
I think we do, yeah. Maybe so if you're the person to write the idiot's handbook. Just a one-pager.
Just three points, just bullet points. Keep it really simple. I think someone told me that that kids get taught about bullying. Is it kind? Is it necessary? And there's another one. There's three, which is brilliant. And I listen to that.
I love that you're not able to ever finish the guide.
The unfinished guide.
And point
guide
three, to... I'll let you work that one out for yourself.
The unfinished guide to sexual harassment by Sophie Werger.
So that's all we've got time for the facts, but thank you very much, Sophie.
It's alright.
Task Force. I've had a call, Sophie.
Bring.
It's the red phone in my office. Oh, sorry. Okay, do it again.
Bring.
Hello, Rory Woodbridge's office.
Oh, hi. I forget in this I actually... I then have to give the task force, which is your job, so it doesn't work that way.
We've fallen at the first hurdle here. It's Donald. It's Donald.
Hey, Donald. How can I help?
Yeah, so... All right, are you being me now?
I think I'm better off being you, yeah. The delay is making it much more fun, isn't it?
The delay is really tough today. it's like we're, yeah, this is probably how like phone calls worked in the 70s.
It almost makes it feel like we haven't known each other for like 12 years and that we're having kind of an awkward date via Skype, and that I don't know when to stop talking, and then when I do stop talking I just wait for a gap and hope that you talk back.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be very enjoyable for the listeners. So apologies in advance. So I had a call from the President of the United States, Donald Trump, who called and he's in a bit of a pickle. It's this week, this Tuesday, is the first State of the Union address that he has to do. Which, do you know about the State of the Union?
No, I'm a bit confused about it.
So the State of the Union is an annual speech. You don't make it on your first year. That's why he didn't do it last January. But you basically give a speech and you say, this is what the year's going to look like. This is what I got up to last year. And here's the plan for 2018.
Can I just ask, why couldn't he say one on the first year? Why are you not allowed to do that? Because you've got to suss it all out. It's like inset year.
Exactly. It's your fallow year. Well, this time last year, he'd only been in the job about a week or two, so he hasn't got much to sort of talk about that he's achieved, because it's a lot of it's focused on here's what I did in the last 12 months, and then there's a bit of and here's what I'm going to do next. So in his defense, he'd only been in the job 2 weeks last year, so that's why he didn't do well. So he's doing a speech on Tuesday, and he's asked, he said, I've got the bare bones of it, but can you call Sophie? I need you guys to add a bit of flair to my speech. So we basically need to sort of some flair, some razzmatazz, some bells and whistles, you know.
Yeah. You know what we're good at. Does he mean in the language, or does he mean in like the stage show of this?
I mean any kind of extra pyrotechnics or spectacle ideas you have.
Yeah.
But I think it's more like, what are some things, Sophie, that you'd like to hear Mr. Trump talking about this year?
Let's think about a good speech, like Martin Luther King, good speech, right?
Yeah, go for it.
So I think good things are, like, I think you could go at it different ways, couldn't you? You could go for like Martin Luther King, who went for like a strong, meaningful speech with a commanding voice, amazing presence, and memorable, very memorable because of what he was talking about. Now, do we think that Donald Trump could do that? I sort of feel like there needs to be a little bit more, what's that for expression? Something over substance, whatever.
Style over substance.
Right, there needs to be more style because there's less substance.
Well, he's got a few things to talk about. I made some notes while I was on the phone to him. He said he's going to talk about, he's saying the economy's better than it's been in decades. That's quite a sweeping statement, and no one can really sort
no
of
but also
that,
I've been keeping up to date this week with the news, surprisingly to probably everyone, but I've been hearing really lovely things said about him, about the economy and how well the American economy is doing, which I don't think, by the sounds of it, is going to be great for two generations on, but right now it's doing great. And everyone at the economic conference they were at this week,
Davos.
Yeah, in Davos, was just like, that everyone was saying quite nice things about him, which is hilarious because, as they often say, I love this word rhetoric on Radio 4, but his rhetoric is obviously absurd and ridiculous, and he just chats so much rubbish and says the most irrational things sometimes, doesn't he? But he has done good for the economy.
Yeah, or he's presiding over some economic success, which may have also been down to work that Obama did, because things just don't take, some things take a lot of time. And I don't know, like, I think it's the sort of the highs and lows. Like, if you're the president, you get blamed when it's bad. So I guess he should take credit for it when it's good, because that's going to be a rare moment. So he's going to talk about that. The downside, though, is his approval ratings are historically low.
At 39%. Okay, so we need to get him approved. That's one of the aims of the speech, approval.
I want you guys to like me. That's okay. That's Donald Trump as a gangster. Because so Donald's at 39. To put that into like perspective, Obama had 49% for his first one, and George W. Bush 84%. Who'd have thought?
Bloody hell. Anyway, so approval is one thing.
We're going to get him better approval. Now, another thing I've been thinking about is it time that we finally sort of put his money where his mouth is and let's build this wall? All this talk about the wall, maybe it's time he said we're going to build the wall this year.
Do you think he needs to build the wall? Like, why doesn't he build a different wall? Like, a wall from Disneyland to New York or something like the Yellow Brick Road, you know? Something with more hope and... I think he'll get more approval for that. Like...
Bridges are generally more positive, but, like, his whole presidential campaign, sort of the main slogan was build the wall. Let's build a wall and around the US.
But maybe so that could be like the joke. Like, he could suddenly turn around and be like, I was joking when I said wall. I really meant bridge. Let's build bridges.
The wall was a metaphor.
Yeah, because I want it to be a bridge. I want everyone to be able to walk everywhere.
Bridges are walls and walls are bridge.
A bridge. I'm calling it a wedge. A wedge.
A wedge.
It's a new wedge. There's going to be a wall on the side of it, but it's essentially a bridge.
Yeah. There's going to be an elevator and an escalator on it as well.
It's going to be like Mario Kart, but it's going to be made of brick. So it'll be a wall and a bridge, and it will join all the great cities. Brilliant.
It's going to be a bridge.
It's like the Springfield Railway in Simpsons.
Oh, what, the monorail?
The monorail, yeah.
I like a bridge that joins all the great cities of America, including like Honolulu in Hawaii. Yeah.
I want to give the nation the ability to walk everywhere, even though he's probably going to be on a scooter in no time.
That's why we're going to buy every American a pair of trainers. That's going to be a new policy.
Yes. Approval rating, 40%.
Yeah. Everyone gets a pair of Adidas trainers. I'd vote for that. That's great.
I'd vote for that. Do you know what would really help the approval rating is, I think there's a massive chat in the White House about wearing black on the day that he does his State of the Union speech in kind of camaraderie with the whole Me Too movement. Now, wouldn't it be really
similar to like what they did at the Golden Globes?
Yeah, wouldn't it be like really Donald to wear like a brightly coloured suit?
I'd like to see him come dressed out as a clown, like just like the Ronald McDonald outfit and then a big purple top hat.
Yeah.
Just to say, yeah, I'm going to counter all this lack of colour by being the most colourful I've ever been. So, and there's also some of your flair and your razzmatazz, because that's sort of
absolutely. But it is a kick in the face, and I think ultimately we want him to have approval. So I feel like he should be more like what you said about his gangster. He's got to be like a black and white gangster.
Right. I don't remember talking about a black and white gangster, but
no, I think.
But sure. So the other thing is that people are expecting him to talk a lot about infrastructure. So a bit like we were talking about bridges, that he will actually announce a lot of building projects. Is there anything sort of you want to add to the wish list there on top of the bridge that connects all the cities? Because you name it, he's going to be building it this year.
Well, I don't know what you were, but I was massively a Duplo fan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not coordinated enough to be able to use Lego. I never got into Lego. I was a Duplo boy.
Yeah, the Duplo pieces were bigger, and I think your fingers, I can never imagine you putting together some Lego. That's far too intricate for you.
So like I'm still very much a very basic Duplo character, and so I'd be supportive of any Duplo initiative that was commissioned.
Well, I mean, like, imagine, no, I'm trying to think, like, what he wants to put more buildings in the US. What's the
he's going to sort of invest a lot more in infrastructure, so railways and roads and just more buildings. I know he's for a long time he's had issues with America's airports as well. He doesn't think the airports are as nice as other countries.
Oh, right. That feels like a waste of money, doesn't it, to revamp? He needs to get Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen now and do like a cheap, you know, sideline, you know, like, yeah, what was that program with the
changing
DIY
rooms.
Charlie? Yeah,
changing rooms. DIY Charlie? Do you mean Handy Andy?
Andy and Charlie, which didn't wear a bra.
Oh, I think, wasn't she Ground Force?
Hey, let's put them all together, the 90s DIY shows.
For one time only, Changing Rooms and Ground Force set aside their differences to fix the airports of America. Project managed by Nick Knowles.
And Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen, you got to have him in there for the sleeve.
Yeah, he's like the judge you could impress at the end.
And then it's like an apprentice kind of thing with Donald Trump at the top, because he knows that format. It's good to stick with what you know.
This is a TV show I'd watch.
Yeah. I think I knew someone that knew that Charlie woman and I was excited, or maybe I met her and someone, this is so irrelevant, I'm so sorry.
What a terrible anecdote. I might have met Charlie from Ground Force, or it might have been my mate.
It's late.
So Trump's asked that we address some of the beef that's going on Twitter this week. So do you know who Trump's been having beef with over the last sort of
days? I've got my dog to start following Trump as of today on Twitter. So from now on, I'll be more up on Twitter. Yeah, Bear's going to follow Trump on Twitter now. So he's going to report back to you
about what's going on.
Yeah, he'll let me know. He'll keep me in the loop. Got to have men on the ground, Rory.
Yeah, or dogs. Okay. So Donald Trump has called out Jay-Z on Twitter.
Oh, no, I have seen this. Yeah, legend.
Jay-Z gave an interview where he was sort of criticising Donald Trump's shithole comments, and in general saying like he's not a big fan of the presidency and that it doesn't feel right. And Trump has sort of come back and said... black unemployment is at like a low and like an all-time low or a low since the 70s. So check your facts before dissing me. So I think Trump will be taking Kanye's side in the Kanye Jay-Z feud.
Which side are you on, Rory?
I think I've got to be with Jay-Z, you know.
Yeah, he's really come into his own last couple of years.
Yeah, they've both got their like downsides, Jay-Z and Kanye. Cause obviously Jay-Z and his like latest album, transpired he'd been cheating on Beyonce, which all Beyonce fans would say is unforgivable.
It is unforgivable, but in some ways, isn't it? But that's modern relationships.
Kanye is a nutter though, and obviously palling up with Trump, so when it levels out, I think you do have to side with Jay-Z. That's my opinion, and anyone can tweet me, Trump, you can call me out.
If you read if you read on Instagram, when they've basically done a picture on the Donald Trump's Instagram, which I'm now following now, that's me following, not my dog. But if you read it like as if like with all the bold and italics, it's like somebody please inform JC that because of my policies, black unemployment has just been reported to be at the lowest rate ever recorded.
they're definitely meant to be read like that, and he probably does say them out loud as he writes them like that.
It's so aggressive, isn't it?
Yeah, just no in big capital letters.
This is another one. The world is witnessing the resurgence of a strong and prosperous America. There's never been a better time to hire, to build, to invest, and to grow in the United States. America is open for business, and we are competitive once again.
He does talk like a WWE wrestler, and that's who we've got as leader of the free world. Finally, Sophie, he asked that we finish it up with a joke. Have you got any good jokes to end it?
When people task me for a joke. I'm awful. Have you got one?
Okay. No.
I've got one from like the Vicar of Dibley.
Which one? What you got?
It's basically like there's two nuns and they're in a car and they're going along a country lane.
Yeah.
And suddenly this vampire jumps out in front of the car. And one of the nuns turns around to the other nun and is like, show him your cross. So she jumps out of the car and starts going, "Aah!" It's the only joke I've ever remembered in my life.
Wow.
It's a good one.
It's a cross for you to bear. Well, anyway, okay. That's all we've got time for on this week's Task Force, thus wrapping up this week's episode of This Might Be the News. I'll give Donald a call back. I might tweet him. I'll say, look, we got some ideas, but get ready to commit to a very large bridge project.
I'm involved. I'm down for that. Yeah.
If you can call Handy Andy for me and get the wheels.
Yeah, it's Charlie who I think I know. Yeah, but I'll get okay. Andy's details as well.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Sophie, for joining me on This Might Be the
That's
News.
All right.
And thank you, listeners, for putting up with this very apologies if there were delays that came out across the Atlantic. We'll work on it for next week. See you next week.
Bye.